22 years and recently turned the church over to my son. He's now the pastor at New Beginnings Baptist Church in White House, Tennessee. But it's, you know, for those of you that might be older, you watch your children grow up. You like to see them be successful. You like to experience it with them. You go to their place of employment to see what they're doing. You go to their first house or their apartment, and, you know, you're proud of them. So as a proud daddy, I look out here and I see what Brother Adrian has done since he left our church and was sent out of our church. And it's just a blessing to see the success, what the Lord is doing here in Aurora, Colorado. It's a real blessing. And, you know, as an evangelist now, that's what I'm doing now currently with my wife, Jennifer. It's a blessing to be able to go from church to church. But there's nothing that's as much of a blessing as going to your children's churches. So it's really a blessing to be here. With me, if you would today, open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And we're going to read verse 25 together. The Bible says, "Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, and companion in labor, and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants." Let's ask the Lord's blessing. Father, please give me the words to say to be a blessing to your people. Lord, help me to stand in this pulpit worthily, not taking it lightly that Pastor Dominguez gave me this opportunity. I want to be a blessing to your people, Lord. Please fill me with your spirit now. Speak the words you'd have said. Thank you for the opportunity. In Christ's name, amen. You know one thing? I don't know what your Bible says. I have a King James Bible up here. I'm not sure exactly what you have, but in my Bible, I want you to look at that verse there, verse 25, that after the word brother, there is no period. It's a comma, which means to be continued. But in how many Christians' lives today does their Bible have a period after the word brother? Becoming a Christian is where it should start, not where it should end. There's a comma there, and there's a whole lot more that follows that comma. Is your salvation enough for you? If it's enough for you, you can go ahead and take your pen out right now and put a period there. Go ahead and cross out that comma and stick a period in there. If your salvation is enough for you, I can tell you this, that your salvation is not enough for him. Amen. That's the start of the race, not the end of the race. As long as you get to heaven, will you be satisfied? As long as you get there, will Christ be satisfied? We're saved unto good works. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. We're saved to serve, not saved to sit. There's a comma, not a period. Epaphroditus considered Paul's ministry worth investing into. I have been in business for many years, and back in the early 90s, I had taken a trip to Seattle, Washington, and I had some business up there with Boeing. So I was up there in Seattle, and I remember getting up early one morning, and I was down at the front desk in the lobby of the hotel, and it was early, and I was checking out. But I turned around and I noticed this long line of people going all the way down the sidewalk. And they were lined up behind this wooden shack. And at 7 o'clock in the morning, all these people in their suits and all the rest, all ready for the workday, standing behind that wooden shack. And I asked the lady, I go, what is that? What is that at this hour of the morning? Oh, it's this new business called Starbucks. And everybody around here, it's the rage. And everybody around here is just going crazy about it. I said, oh, we've never heard of it. You know, if I had a crystal ball and I had been able to foretell the future, I would have emptied my pocket of every penny I had. I had gone to the nearest ATM and pulled out every dollar out of my bank I had and gone up to that little wooden shack and said, I know you're a nobody, but I have a feeling that you're going to be a somebody. And I would like to take every penny I have and put it in your pocket. And where would I be today? Well, that's exactly what Epaphroditus saw in Paul the Apostle. He said, this ministry of Paul the Apostle is worth pouring everything I have into it. Everything. My life. Everything. My health. Everything I have. I don't want a period after the word brother. I want there to be a comma. I want there to be something to follow my salvation. And I see this as being a ministry worth pouring myself into. I believe you could probably say that about New Heights Baptist Church. Amen. A ministry that you believe in pouring yourself into. I can see that. I can already, just in the few years since we've been gone, I've already seen a lot of changes in coming in here. And I can only imagine where this will go should the Lord tarry his coming. But find something worth your investment and give it all you've got. Because our reward is eternal in the heavenlies. You know, any reward that I might have gotten out of Starbucks, you know, the day I die or the day I'm raptured out of here, it all stays behind. But what I do for the Lord Jesus Christ, I will have forever. You talk about an inheritance. Well, what follows the comma? I see after my brother says, and companion in labor. Paul said he's my fellow companion, a companion. Boy, isn't it nice to have companions? You know, I'm not talking about lighthearted friends or acquaintances. I'm talking about a companion. A companion is someone that stays with you, like a spouse, you know, or a best friend, or a pastor. A companion is someone that stays with you, that you can count on. He's a companion. And what does that say? In labor. That means he worked with them. Nothing like rolling up your sleeves and getting next to somebody. I'll tell you the number of times, the great, great times that we had at New Beginnings Baptist Church back in Nashville on church work days. And everybody comes out. Women come out. Men come out. Kids come out. Some are cutting the hedges. Some are mowing the lawns. Ladies are inside vacuuming the pews and cleaning the windows and cleaning the kitchen area. And, you know, just everybody working and just having a wonderful time. And there's just something about, you know, when people put their work ethic together and roll up their sleeves and do something together, it builds bonds. It builds, you know, camaraderie that doesn't just happen on its own. It takes an investment. What does it say there? It says he's a fellow laborer. He wrought, W-R-O-U-G-H-T, meaning labor, work. He wrought with Paul. Look what it says in verse 26. For he longed after you all. Paul's writing this to the Philippians. And was full of heaviness, speaking of Epaphroditus, because that ye had heard that he had been sick. Why was Epaphroditus heavy? He was heavy because others had heard that he was sick. Now, usually you're heavy because you are sick. He was heavy because that burden had been placed upon others and they heard he was sick. He didn't want them to be worried about him. He didn't want them to be stressed over his condition. He was a laborer, but he wanted to bear a burden more so than be a burden. So when you come into this church, is it all about you? Are you here to be ministered to? Partially, yes. But do you also come to church in order to minister? We are called ministers of reconciliation. That's what the Bible calls us. How often do you accompany your brothers in labor? When the pastor says we're going to have a work day at church. When the pastor says we're going to go out evangelizing. When the pastor says we're going to have a church picnic. I mean, do you come and help? Do you roll up your sleeves and participate? You know, I've always said at our church, I'm sure it's the same at all churches, but unless you get involved, you'll soon be revolved. You know those revolving doors at the hotels and at the malls? If you don't get involved, you'll soon be revolved. You've got to get involved. You got to roll up your sleeves. You got to get to work. And then that builds that camaraderie. I have a question to ask you. This is a very good question. There are certain people in your church that if they didn't show up for church, you'd say, where are they? What's the matter? What happened? Because they're here every time the doors are open. They're here for Bible study. They're here for morning service. If you have special meetings, they're here. Whatever, they're here. We're doing something at church, they're here. So if any day that they're not here, that's weird. Where are they? Does anybody know? Are they okay? Anybody call them? Are they sick? Are you sure they're okay? Did they break down on the way? I just want you to ask yourself, are you one of those Christians that if you weren't here on any given Sunday, people would wonder, are they okay? Or is your attendance at church such that nobody would really probably be concerned because that's normal? Wouldn't it be wonderful if you miss church and you got phone calls from 15 people? Are you okay? Did you break down? Do you need help? I'll be right there. You see, that's how much invested Epaphroditus was in Paul's ministry. He was right there. He was a companion in labor. You know, I think about, you've seen the Navy SEALs. I'm sure you've seen programs on TV about the Navy SEALs. You know that when they're doing that Navy SEAL training, that big log they carry? It's called Old Misery. That's the name of the log. Old Misery. And so they'll put, I think that thing weighs 500 pounds, I think is what it was. And they'll put like five guys on that log. That means each guy's carrying how much? 100 pounds. Hey, Colorado's smart, just like Tennessee. That's good. That's 100 pounds each. But then all of a sudden one guy says, you know, I'm kind of busy today. I don't think I can come out and help my brothers carry the log. Now how much is each person carrying? 125 pounds. Wow. And then another guy says, well, you know, I need to buy a field. I got married, I had to pull my, horse out of the ditch or whatever the case may be, as the Bible says. They began to make excuse. Now all of a sudden it's down to three. Can you do that math? 500 divided by three. Bottom line is whatever it weighs, it's heavier. It's heavier. And that's what happens in the local church when we all don't carry our share. It gets heavier on the others because somebody's got to do it. You would hate it to come in here and stuff being all over the carpet, empty bottles laying around, hymn books not put underneath the seats. You'd hate it. You'd say, oh, man, this is disgusting. Then you go to the bathroom, and it's not cleaned up at all. You go, oh, I got to find another church. But the reason that this place looks the way it does is because people labor. But And I've seen this after pastoring for 22 years. The laborers around here, if they don't get help, will burn out. It will be too heavy for them in time. Oh, no, they love it. Oh, yeah, I know. I had people that loved it. I had people that loved it for 20 years. They started the church with me. They were founding members. And after 20 years, they burned out. And they would be the first ones to tell you, I just don't have any more to give. I just wonder if they'd still be in the church today had there been a couple other guys on the log. You know, we all say we love one another. If we love one another, get on the log and carry your fair share. Amen. Because somebody else is doing it for you, and it can be more than they can bear. And the Lord never does put more on us than we can bear. That's what the Bible says. So why do we do that to our brothers and sisters in Christ? Not only was he a fellow companion, he was a fellow soldier. Fellow laborer says he wrought with Paul. Fellow soldier says he fought with Paul. And what does it say? For indeed, in verse 27, he was sick, nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore more carefully, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. You talk about pressing toward the mark, you know, for the prize. This guy, he was a soldier. He was right by Paul, and it says, nigh unto death. I mean, think about it. When you don't come to church, what excuses might you use? My tummy is a little upset today. I had a headache. I had a hangnail. This guy was almost dead. And he, if anyone could have said, Paul, I just can't make it. Paul, I just can't do it. No. This guy was working even though he was probably inches away from killing himself. Because he found something worth investing everything he had into. If anyone had an excuse as to why he could not show up, it was definitely Epaphroditus. Because some people will make any excuse to miss, while some people will refuse every excuse to miss. That's the difference. That's the difference. A soldier says, reporting for duty. That's what a soldier says, reporting for duty. Here I am. You're almost dead. Here I am. You know, even as it says in the book of Proverbs, waiting at the posts of my door for orders. I'm ready to go. Just tell me what to do. I am a soldier. And how many times are we likened as Christians to soldiers, enduring hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ? He was a soldier, no doubt about it. Look in your Bible, if you would, at Luke chapter 17. Hold your place there in Philippians, but turn over to Luke 17. And in verse 10, look what the Bible says. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Yeah. You know, I think it's in the book of Romans chapter 12, it's called reasonable service. Reasonable. I mean, think about what you've been saved from. And it, listen, when you become a Christian and God comes into your life and the Holy Spirit of God comes into your life and you have a church family and you have a book with it's an absolute instruction manual, perfectly made, perfectly preserved. You know, salvation, yes, is a wonderful thing, your life. But think about all the other things you've been saved from. You were saved from hell, but look at all the heartache you've been saved from. Look at all the things in the world you've been saved from. It doesn't mean life is easy, but when the Holy Spirit of God is in your life, you can still have the fruits of the Spirit as you go through those hard times. You know, the Bible even says we're appointed unto affliction. Appointed. It means same as you go to a doctor's appointment. I have to be there 10 o'clock on Tuesday. God's up there saying, I have some affliction for you Wednesday at 3 p.m. It's an appointment for your good, for his glory. And God was getting glory out of Epaphroditus' life right here, as Epaphroditus gave everything he had. Someone felt a duty to share Christ with you. Someone felt a duty to disciple you in the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone felt a duty to fellowship with you, to become your friend in Christ. Let's face it, when we get saved and we come out of the world, we have to fill those voids that are being left behind. You know, all the things that I'm leaving behind, I gotta fill those voids with something better. Or I'm going to long for what was in the past. And God has done that for you in giving you good friends and giving you a good pastor and giving you a good church. And do you feel any sense of duty to those in your sphere of influence, to your neighbors, to your family? How many family members, aunts, uncles, cousins, grandparents, how many family members do you have that still don't know the Lord? Have you tried? Nigh unto death? Oftentimes we're more concerned with what they think about us rather than what they think about Christ. I had a real blessing yesterday. We called for an Uber to come get us, and the Uber wasn't moving. You know how they give you a little map on there to show you where the car is? Thing wasn't moving. For like 10 minutes, it didn't move. So I wrote him. I said, are you coming? Are you headed this way? And no response. I said, if you're not going to move, then I'll probably cancel you and get somebody else. And no response, didn't move. So I hit cancel. So then I said, give me another one. And this woman, about 40-something years old, her name was LaFondra, she came and picked us up and took us to where we could have dinner. And that entire trip, my wife and I witnessed to her. And when we got to the place where she was dropping us off, she was crying. She was wiping her eyes. She was reaching for Kleenexes. And I said, we can take care of this right now if you'd like to. And she bowed her head and she prayed and asked Jesus Christ to save her. I told her about this church. I gave Brother Adrian all the information. But folks, we have a debt. We have a debt. And I can be the first one to tell you, I've not paid my debts as well as I should have. But I know what the direction I should be headed. I need to turn my feet unto his testimonies and get to doing what I'm supposed to do. Sometimes we act as if we have all the time in the world, yet we know the clock is ticking. We know the clock is ticking and the day is approaching. Don't let there be a period after brother in your life. Also, I want you again just to think about those at work, those in your family, neighbors. Neighbors don't know each other anymore. Right. Neighbors don't know each other anymore. I don't know my neighbors. I need to get to know my neighbors. I just moved into a new house, And you know, a lot of houses don't have front porches anymore. They used to have front porches. They had front porches because people would be sitting out them. And then as people walked down the sidewalk, they'd get to talk. People knew everybody. They knew their neighbors. It was a community. People don't have time to meet their neighbors anymore. We don't need front porches anymore. You know, the houses are getting bigger and the lots are getting smaller. And that's because people are spending more time inside than outside. And it's, you know, it's just a different, but that doesn't have to be us. You know, just if that's the way the world is, that doesn't have to be us. And remember, don't measure yourself against the world. The world keeps moving further and further away. So if you're measuring your Christianity by the distance you are from the world, it's always going to be relative and it's floating. Because as the world gets further, you're still an arm's distance away, but you're floating as well. Our measuring rod should be our distance from Calvary, our distance from the cross, our distance from Jesus Christ. The world should be getting further and further and further away, should not be kept an arm's length away. Not only was he a fellow laborer, a fellow soldier, he was also a fellow messenger, and he taught with Paul. He wrought with Paul, he fought with Paul, and he taught with Paul. In verse 29, it says, "Receive him, therefore, in the Lord, with all gladness, and hold such in reputation." Paul was saying, this isn't just your ordinary Christian. This guy's given his life for my ministry, and I want you to hold him in reputation. Receive him. I'm thankful for being a laborer and being a soldier, but you know, the end result for all of us should be to be a messenger, to preach the gospel unto the uttermost parts of the earth, to be a messenger. But I, you know, obviously, you don't take someone that just got saved and all of a sudden you put them in the pulpit the next day. You know, there's a learning curve. They're a child. They're newborn babes. And I don't think that God uses people in the capacity that he'd like to as messengers until they first learn how to work and they first learn how to fight. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Think about all the times Paul used verbs like beat the air, run, wrestle. You know, Paul, I mean, he was a man's man. He was a laborer. He was a fighter. He was a warrior. But yet he still had a compassionate heart and was filled with grace. Ended every one of his epistles with, "May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all." You know, just a beautiful, beautiful person. And again, Epaphroditus found something worth investing into. You know, the Bible tells us in 1 Timothy 1:7 that there will be many that will want to be teachers, desiring to be teachers. And that's fine to want to teach, but what's your motivation for wanting to teach? To be an authority figure so that people can look up to you? What is your, you know, I don't think until which time you've done the labor and you've done the fighting, will you really have a heart for people. There's a lot of people that want to teach because they have a heart for themselves. And they don't want to be under authority. They want to be an authority. And that's the wrong motivation. And that's why, you know, 1 Timothy 1:7 says these people desiring to be teachers of the law. No, and it was wrong. And Paul was telling young Timothy to beware of these people. But the Bible tells us, commit thou to faithful men who are able to teach others also. Faithful. Faithful what? Faithful in labor. Faithful what? Faithful in being a soldier, fighting the good fight. Faithful. Those are the people you commit the preaching and the teaching of God's word to. Why doesn't the Lord use everyone as a messenger? Why doesn't he use everyone to teach and proclaim? I just wonder if, you know, you're not going to run before you walk. And you're not going to walk before you crawl. And if you've never done anything past the period that you've placed after brother, If you've never done anything after that, don't expect God to be able to use you in the capacity he desires. God has a plan for all of us. God, I mean, there might be some pastors sitting in here. There might be some pastors' wives sitting in here. There might be some missionaries or evangelists sitting in here. I don't know. I don't know what God's plan is for you, but I do know this, that your choices will determine as to whether or not God can use you as he would like. He's not willing that any should perish, but some do. Why? Choices. Take the period after the word brother. Get involved. Get active. Why was he nigh unto death? He was doing what others couldn't do. He took it all upon himself. He was carrying old misery all by himself. It was killing him. Look at the last verse, verse 30. Because for the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life. Why? Look at this. To supply your lack of service toward me. Why was he almost dead? Because there was no one else to help him carry the log. To supply your lack. Because you couldn't or you wouldn't, whatever the case was, he took it all upon himself, and at night it killed him. And if anyone had a reason as to why they couldn't work that day or couldn't show up, he did. But he took it upon himself because he said, this is worth giving everything I've got and putting it into. And that's usually what keeps ministers in business, people regarding their life more than the life of Christ. Because for the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death. And he wasn't even doing it for Paul. He was doing it for the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, you have to be careful there, too. I don't want the people that were in my church, I don't want them doing it for me. Because all of a sudden, one day, I'll disappoint you. I'll upset you. I'll say the wrong thing. Then you're gone. Do it for him. He never makes a mistake. He never sins. He only does what's for your good. Him you can trust. And if you're doing it for him, then you'll be able to go from now to the finish line and disregard all the other things going on around you. Look at verse Philippians chapter 4. I want you to see what happens when there's an Epaphroditus in the midst. One of you might be an Epaphroditus. I don't know you well enough. There might be an Epaphroditus sitting in here right now. Somebody that goes above and beyond, always, without having to be asked. Always here, always willing, always giving, regardless of what's going on in their life. Heartache, misery, affliction, persecution, trials, tribulations. No matter what's going on in their life, they're there ready to give 150% to whomever needs it. There might be an Epaphroditus in here. I don't know. But let me show you what happens when there is an Epaphroditus around. Verse 18. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. When you have someone that sacrificial in your midst, it's contagious. And these very same people, remember, he's nigh unto death to supply your lack of service toward me. Now, two chapters later, what does it say? Two chapters later, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. All of a sudden, everyone wanted to be an Epaphroditus. All of a sudden, everyone wanted to go beyond just the period after the word brother. All of a sudden, people saw a ministry worth investing into and were willing to give everything they had. All of a sudden. Why? Because of a guy named Epaphroditus. One man. You know, oftentimes there's many examples in the Bible of one man, Moses, one man, Gideon, one man, Daniel, you know, where one guy took a stand and was able to change everything as a result. Epaphroditus here, New Testament, one man was able to change everything going on in the Philippians because they saw his sacrifice and how much he was willing to give, how far he was willing to go. And it says, to the Lord, what was it? An odor of a sweet smell. Wow. God says, that is sweet. A sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. God's looking down from glory, seeing Epaphroditus and seeing the effect he's having on all these people. And these people over here are embracing him and everything he's doing and saying, this is unbelievable. This is, look at these people. Look at their hearts. They're giving everything they've got. And as a result, look at Paul's ministry flourishing. To God be the glory, great things he hath done. I want you to see something. Turn over to Psalm 119 with me. And we're going to look at verse 2. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. Verse 10, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Look at verse 34. Give me understanding and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Look at verse 58. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart, be merciful unto me according to thy word. Look at verse 69. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Look at verse 145. I cried with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord, I will keep thy statutes. Was David a perfect man? David ever make any mistakes? Yeah, I'd say. David made some bigger mistakes than probably you and I will ever make. But there was one thing about David. He had a heart after God. Yeah, he fell, but guess what he did? He got back up. He got back up. And with his whole heart, he sought the Lord. You've made mistakes? I've made mistakes. Epaphroditus made mistakes. Paul made mistakes. But the question is whether or not you're still moving in the right direction. Have you placed a period after the word brother? If so, take your pen out right now and put that comma back in there and get marching on, because living the life of an Epaphroditus is contagious. But my God, verse 19 of Philippians 4, I'll just read it. It was the very next verse. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Yeah, God supplied all of his need. And he used a man called Epaphroditus to do it, which encouraged a whole bunch of Philippians to get involved and tell themselves that this was a ministry worth investing into. I say New Heights Baptist Church is worth investing into. This work is worth investing into. Give it your all. Put the comma after the word brother. Get busy. Get going and allow your life to be contagious to those around you. Father, we do thank you for the day. Thank you for this time of Bible study.